Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I am Rayan Walters, and this is Uncover Politics. It is my pleasure to have your company. You can now tune into the program on any of your preferred platform. At Uncover Politics, anchor.fm/Rayan-Walters. Uncover Politics on YouTube, Spotify, Applecast, Pocket Cast, and Overcast. Wherever in the world you are tuning from, I am delighted to have your company. This podcast is committed to providing you with a new experience, better understanding, and a microscopic view of politics in every sense imaginable. We are going to be discussing the political upheavals, tensions, success and their failures, and the impact on our everyday lives from Europe, North, Central and South America, Africa, Asia, and the Caribbean in just 10 minutes or less. For today's program, I want to specifically focus on the state of crime in Jamaica and how it is affecting our everyday lives. Looking at this report from Loop News Jamaica, dated February 17, 2021, the headline dubbed "Huge Sums Being Invested in Security Plan, But Gangs Still Murderous." One of the problems that we are facing in this country, Jamaica, land we love, is how to tackle the twin monster of crime and violence. Despite billions of dollars having been spent so far on the government security plan dubbed Plan Secure Jamaica, National Security Minister Dr. Horace Chang says gang activities continue to create roadblocks to the reduction of homicides. Dr. Chang was quizzed by journalists and asked that why the significant results are not being achieved that was promised in crime and violence despite massive spending. Chang laid the blame squarely at the feet of warring gang members. He stated the pathology of homicides will not allow you to have sharp drops in murders due to normal policing in short time. The gangs are embedded in communities which have first, second, third generation personalities, he asserted. 176 billion dollars for Plan Secure Jamaica will cost the government, according to the Minister of National Security. 176 billion with a B. For far too long, as many of us can recall, specifically since the dawn of the 1980s, Jamaicans have been living in fear. Our country, nationally and internationally, has been marred that despite our fantastic achievement in sports, particularly track and field and netball, our beautiful beaches, the warmth of the island, and the friendliness of the people, we cannot untangle ourselves as a nation that is on the brink of a failed state because of crime and violence. And I am not into the politics, nor am I into the arguments surrounding statistics over a year in comparison, are comparing administrations and governments and performance of ministers and what have you. That cannot help the state of crime and violence in Jamaica when too many Jamaicans are losing their lives. For decades, listeners, year on top of year, there has been 1,000+ Jamaicans who have died from the gun. For an island nation this size, it is almost appalling, if not untenable, for us to achieve any real economic and social mobility as a nation if we continue on this path. It has somehow become the norm for us to lose 5, 6, and 7 persons in a day from the gun. Sometimes 21 persons within 72 hours have lost their lives from the gun. That is enough for us as a nation to wake up to the realities that we are facing. Because the government obviously does not have the answer. Whether it is a JLP or the PNP, whether it is Peter Bunting, Horace Chang, or whomever is the minister, whomever is the police commissioner, or whatever the plans, programs, and force orders. And despite the billions of dollars being invested for social intervention and justice reform, we are still having a serious problem in this country. And we have not yet put a dent into this problem that is seriously affecting the prosperity of Jamaica. In 2020, 1,301 Jamaicans were killed. That is a report from Latin America and the Caribbean, revealed that Jamaica is now the country with the highest homicide rate in the region, 46.5% per 100,000 people. And we can play all the politics we want to play. We can propose and we can oppose. If we as a country do not arrest our society from this type of living, then more and more Jamaicans are not going to want to return home. And perhaps those who have the luxury of attaining a higher education who'd want to go overseas to start a family or to relocate their family because of the state of crime in this country. We cannot expect whomever is the government of the day to have all the solutions. And despite the amount of money that is being spent year after year, this issue obviously can't be resolved. When, according to the minister, at least in my opinion, he got this right, that crime in Jamaica is deeply rooted in generations, and that gangs and gang leaders in this country didn't just rise up overnight, but it is almost like a way of life for some people to live by crime and violence. And too many Jamaicans are living in fear. Too many communities are declared unsafe. And we can't have a country, we can't have a democracy where people are living in fear of their lives, when you can go out today and tomorrow your life is in jeopardy. We must move with a certain degree of alacrity. We must move with agility. We must move with a certain degree of urgency in addressing this social problem collectively. The government, the opposition, civil society, trade unions, the private sector, community-based organizations, and our bilateral partners. We have to move with a certain degree of alacrity to help Jamaica. And with all of that, if there is no divine intervention from God Himself upon Jamaica, based on the willingness of its people, our country will never move from the state that it is. Thank you.